NORAD got an unscheduled drill New Year's Day. A mid-air in Virginia claims two lives. And restricted military airspace could expand over Florida. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 3rd, 2011. There's no word yet on what caused a loss of communications with Piedmont Airlines Flight 4352 as it neared Reagan National Airport in Washington on a flight from Hilton Head, South Carolina, Saturday afternoon. FAA spokeswoman Diane Spitaleri says ATC lost contact with the crew of the de Havilland Dash 8, resulting in the scrambling by NORAD of on-duty fighters based a short distance away at Andrews Air Force Base. Quote, "Shortly after that, we reestablished contact with the plane. Department of Homeland Security officials are interviewing the pilots," unquote. Another FAA source, Jim Peters, has been quoted in media reports saying the feds are reviewing a pilot readback error that may be at the core of the matter. The U.S. Capitol building was evacuated for about a half hour while the drama played out. Fortunately, there weren't too many staffers in the building on the afternoon of New Year's Day. A mid-air collision claimed the lives of two people on board a Cessna 172 that clipped the skids of a Eurocopter EC-135 Friday afternoon. The 1967 Skyhawk lost a significant portion of its left wing in the collision and hit the ground about half mile north of the Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport in Wires Cave, Virginia. Authorities have identified the victims as Jason Allen Long, a 32-year-old flight instructor, and Jacob Houston Kaiser, a 19-year-old Hampton-Sydney College freshman, both Virginia residents. The helicopter, AirCare 5, is a medical transport helicopter operated under contract by PHI. Pilot Paul Weave, co-pilot and flight nurse Joseph Root, and flight nurse Carolyn Book were uninjured. A local helicopter instructor, Mark Huntley, told local media he was working in his hangar when he heard the midair. Quote, "I saw the helicopter come in and it wasn't pretty," unquote. He added the pilot did an amazing job of getting the aircraft down. Quote, "It was a combination of how well all the safety features they have on that aircraft worked and ability to recover. It's a testament to the training those boys get," unquote. The NTSB has directed much attention lately to improved training for air ambulance crews. The EC-135 was returning from a trip to University of Virginia Medical Center in Charlottesville. The case of a helicopter that went down December 8th during what's officially called a low-level agricultural sustainment flight has resulted in an NTSB factual report. The R-22 was being flown back and forth over a bean field to keep frost off the crops when the pilot crossed over some power lines at one end of the field, then just kept descending into the ground. He survived serious injuries in the crash. When asked if there had been mechanical trouble, the pilot said no. He did tell investigators he'd started work at 8 p.m. the night before when he repositioned the helicopter and flew a 90-minute mission before midnight, then got 2 hours sleep before starting the accident flight at 3:30 a.m., which ended with a crash at 7:30 a.m. He also reported getting only 5 hours of sleep in the preceding 24 and only 14 hours sleep in the previous 72. The FAA is proposing to expand three restricted airspace areas around Central Florida, both laterally and vertically. Changes driven by what the U.S. Navy says are the introduction of higher performance and more versatile multi-role fighter aircraft, as well as advanced weapons systems and employment tactics since the original boundaries were set. The FAA agrees the expansions would enhance the margin of safety for air traffic in the areas of Lake George and Pinecastle. The FAA's Notice of Proposed Rulemaking was published in the Federal Register December 22nd, and public comments are due by February 7th. Get much more detail on the areas involved, including a link to the actual NPRM, in the text version of this story, dated January 1st at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, NTSB says American Airlines violated protocol. China's state airline plans to buy 50 planes from Airbus. And does it really matter who's touching your junk? You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
Piperjet. Piper Sport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board is not happy with American Airlines for intercepting the cockpit voice and data recorders from an incident aircraft and downloading data from the DFDR, or Digital Flight Data Recorder, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, before it got to investigators in Washington. For the sake of expedience, the NTSB often works with airlines on the transport of the recorders after an incident in which there are no serious injuries or significant aircraft damage. During the investigations themselves, the airlines can obviously be important partners, but the board feels that partnership has been compromised in this case, involving an American Airlines 757 that slid off the end of a runway at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, December 29th. In an official statement, NTSB Chairman Deborah Herzman commented, quote, "Although a thorough examination by our investigators determined that no information from the DFDR was missing or altered in any way, the breach of protocol by American Airlines personnel violates the Safety Board's standards of conduct for any organization granted party status in an NTSB investigation, because maintaining and enforcing strict investigative protocols and procedures is vital to the integrity of our investigative processes. We have revoked the party status of American Airlines and excused them from further participation in this incident investigation," unquote. American Airlines has assured the board that a full review of proper procedures and internal controls will be undertaken to ensure that such an occurrence is not repeated. China Eastern Airlines told the Hong Kong Stock Exchange it plans to buy 50 Airbus aircraft of various types to be delivered over the next 4 years. Total value at list prices would be $3.22 billion. China Eastern tells AFP News Airbus made significant price concessions to get the deal. Airbus and Boeing have both announced sizable deals with airlines in China as 2010 ended. Boeing projects the Chinese market will require over 4,300 new airliners over the next 20 years. The Chinese government is even more bullish, saying there may be as many as 5,000 airliners plying the country's skies in the next 15 years. And finally today, the Washington Post reports 16 commercial airports in the U.S. have now opted out of using TSA employees for security screenings. The trend may have roots in public outrage over TSA's recent escalation of security theater to include full-body scans and groping, but it's not clear opting out will really make any difference for passengers. Airports opting out can choose from 30 private companies to take TSA's place, but they'll be required to grope and scan too. TSA still pays the bill, but individual employees with private companies are said to make slightly more money. Naturally, AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees, the union hoping to gain exclusive representation authority for TSA employees, isn't happy to see the number of potential dues payers shrinking. It warns that private screeners will result in a patchwork quilt of ineffective airport security. But if you fly frequently and compare screenings at different airports, you probably know we have that already. Here at Salt Lake City, they make a big deal about having your quart-sized Ziploc bag pulled out of your carry-on. In other places, it can just ride through the scanner inside your bag. At some airports, your belt buckle will set off the metal detector. In others, it won't. AFGE calls this a patchwork. TSA calls it a layered approach with strategic unpredictability. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us why we should resolve to become amateur NTSB investigators in 2011. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.